I think most people in evangelicalism, when they see a squirrel, thinks of Gene Clyde. It's really strange when you think about it.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios and top the highest tree in the Piney Woods. Good to have you with us. It is Tuesday, the 21st of June, 2022, which means this is my granddaughter's first birthday. Yes, I have been a grandfather, or as I say, Appa, for 1 year today, which is amazing. It's flown by. I will see her this afternoon. I'm looking forward to that. Her party is actually Sunday after church. My daughter's going to take me out to see Maverick tonight for Father's Day, kind of a delayed Father's Day thing. So we're going to go see Maverick tonight, and I will definitely make sure while I'm in Missoula to stop by, because that's what Appas should do, isn't it? All right, well, it's good to have you with us. Excuse me, I've got a cough drop in my mouth. And snort loudly. And take a sip of coffee. Just all sorts of stuff going on here this morning. My voice is much better today. Much, much better. Almost back to normal. Doesn't feel nearly as weak as it was yesterday, and certainly nothing like it was when I came back from camp on Friday night. So I'm happy about that. Squirrel Chatter is a podcast dedicated primarily to the public reading of Scripture and secondarily to my thoughts on various topics of the day. And Squirrel Chatter is a part of the Christian Podcast Community. You can head on over to Christian Podcast Community and check out all the great, all the great curated podcasts that are over there that are available for your listening pleasure and your entertainment and your edification needs. So check out the Christian Podcast Community, ChristianPodcastCommunity.com, which is a ministry of Striving for Eternity Ministries. I'll just point you that way. Now, I have to admit, Squirrel Chatter is not sponsored by MyPillow, but Striving for Eternities is. So if you would like to save money on a MyPillow pillow, I love mine. I travel with mine. Took mine to camp. I slept all week at camp on my MyPillow pillow. And you can too. Even if you don't go to camp, you can sleep on a MyPillow pillow and it'll be the best sleep of your life. Use promo code SFE to save on your MyPillow pillow. All right. I just threw that in. They don't pay me for that. They pay Striving for Eternity. So that's, I just did that because I wanted to. Because sometimes you just have. All right, our scripture today is going to be Song of Solomon 1 through 3, Psalm 72, and 1 Thessalonians 5. And then I found that article I referred to yesterday. I talked about yesterday that I had read, or I had heard an interview with a researcher, slow down, talk distinctly. I listened to an interview yesterday with a researcher from the Heritage Foundation who had been researching transgenderism and teen suicide, and I was able yesterday to find that article. So we'll be looking at that a little bit today. All right, well, let's begin, as we always do, with our prayer of confession from the Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. And now the prayer for the reading of the word. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. May he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Your oils have a pleasing fragrance. Your name is like purified oil. Therefore the maidens love you. Draw me after you, and let us run together. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will rejoice in you and be glad. We will extol your love more than wine. Rightly do they love you. I am black but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. Do not look at me because I am swarthy, for the sun has burned me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me caretaker of the vineyards, but I have not taken care of my own vineyard. Tell me, O you whom my soul loves, where do you shepherd your flock? Where do you make it lie down at noon? For why should I be like one who veils herself beside the flocks of your companions? If you yourself do not know, most beautiful among women, go forth on the trail of the flock and pasture your young goats by the dwellings of the shepherds. To a mare of mine among the chariots of Pharaoh I compare you, O my darling. Your cheeks are lovely with ornaments, your neck with strings of beads. We will make for you ointments of gold with beads, ornaments of gold with beads of silver. While the king was at his banqueting table, my perfume gave forth its fragrance. My beloved is to me a pouch of myrrh, which lies all night between my breasts. My beloved is to me a cluster of henna blossoms in the vineyards of Engedi. Behold, you are beautiful, my darling. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are like doves. Behold, you are handsome, my beloved. Indeed, so pleasant. Indeed, our couch is luxuriant. The beams of our houses are cedars, our rafters cypresses. I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. Like a lily among the thorns, so is my darling among the daughters. Chapter 2. Like an apple among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the sons. In his shade I had great desire and sat down, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He has brought me to his house of banqueting, and his banner over me is love. Sustain me with raisin cakes, refresh me with apples, because I am lovesick. Let his left hand be under my head, and his right hand embrace me. I call you to solemnly swear, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the hinds of the field, that you do not arouse or awaken my love until she pleases. The voice of my beloved, behold, he is coming, leaping on the mountains, jumping on the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he is standing behind our wall. He gazes through the windows, and he is peering through the lattice. My beloved answered and said to me, Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. For behold, the winter is past, the rain is over, it is gone. The flowers have appeared in the land. The time for pruning has arrived, and the voice of the turtle dove has been heard in our land. The fig tree has ripened its figs, and the vines in blossom have given forth their fragrance. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. O my dove, in the cleft of the rock, in the secret place of the steep pathway, let me see your appearance, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your appearance is lovely. Seize the foxes for us, the little foxes that are wreaking destruction on the vineyards, while our vineyards are in blossom. My beloved is mine, I am his. He who shepherds his flock among the lilies, until the day breathes and the shadows flee, turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag in the mountains of Bether. Chapter 3. On my bed, night after night, I sought him, whom my soul loves. I sought him, but did not find him. I must arise now and go about the city, in the streets and in the squares. I must seek him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but did not find him. The watchmen who go about the city found me, And I said, "Have you seen him whom my soul loves?" Scarcely had I passed them by when I found him whom my soul loves. I seized him and would not let him go until I had brought him to my mother's house and into the chambers of her who conceived me. I call you to solemnly swear, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the hinds of the field, that you will not arouse or awaken my love until she pleases. For who is coming up from the wilderness, like columns of smoke, as rising incense of myrrh and frankincense, with all scented powers of the powders of the merchant? Behold, it is the traveling couch of Solomon, 60 mighty men around it, of the mighty men of Israel. All of them are those who seize the sword, learned in war. Each man has his sword at his side, guarding against the dreadful things of the night. King Solomon has made for himself a sedan chair from the timber of Lebanon. He made its posts of silver, its back of gold, and its seat of purple fabric, with its interior inlaid with love by the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth and see, O daughters of Zion, King Solomon with the crown, which was his mother, with which his mother has crowned him, on the day of his wedding, and on the day of his gladness of heart. And now Psalm 72 of Solomon. O God, give your king your judgments and your righteousness to the king's son. May he render your judgment to your people with righteousness and your afflicted with justice. Let the mountains lift up peace to the people and the hills in righteousness. May he give justice to the afflicted of the people. Save the children of the needy and crush the oppressor. Let them fear you while the sun endures, and as long as the moon, from generation to all generation. May he come down like rain upon the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. May the righteous flourish in his days, and abundance of peace until the moon is no more. May he also have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Let the desert creatures kneel before him, and his enemies lick the dust. Let the kings of Tarshish and the coastlands bring a present. The kings of Sheba and Seba offer tribute. And let all kings bow down to him. All nations serve him. For he will deliver the needy when he cries for help, the afflicted also, and him who has no helper. He will have compassion on the poor and the needy, and the lives of the needy he will save. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and their blood will be precious in his sight. So may he live, and may they give to him the gold of Sheba. And let each pray for him continually. Let each bless him all day long. May there be abundance of grain in the earth on top of the mountains. May its fruit wave like the cedars of Lebanon. And may those from the city blossom like vegetation of the earth. May his name endure forever. May his name increase as long as the sun shines. Let all nations be blessed in him. Let all nations call him blessed. Blessed be Yahweh God, the God of Israel, who alone works wondrous deeds. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and may the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are completed. 1 Thessalonians 5. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them, suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman who is pregnant, and they will never escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of the light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us for wrath, but for the obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, comfort one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. But we ask you, brothers, that you know those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you, and that you regard them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all the people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but examine all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved completely, without blame, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I implore you by the Lord to have this letter read among all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now the Collect for Grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance, to do always that is righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, well, yesterday I mentioned that I had heard a interview on the Sebastian Gorka America First program with a researcher from the Heritage Foundation, and that he was speaking of the correlation between transgenderism and suicide and how it's exactly the opposite of what is being publicly portrayed. One of the prime motivations that's being brought out by the transgender community for allowing younger and younger children to transition to, you can't transition to the opposite sex, but to mutilate themselves into a simulation of the opposite sex. The motivation for this again and again and again is that, you know, if you don't do it, they will commit suicide. Because they can't be who they are in their hearts, and they will take their own life. The argument is actually the first line in this argument. Open quote, "Would you rather have a dead daughter or a living son?" Close quote. Let me read from the article. The article is at the Daily Signal website, which is, Daily Signal is the news blog publishing arm of the Heritage Foundation. The Daily Signal site is where you find the articles that are put out by the Heritage Foundation. Heritage Foundation being a fabulous politically conservative think tank that has put out a lot of good stuff over the years. One of the places that I go to look at stuff is the Daily Signal. The title of the article is "New Study: Experts Debunk Trans Activist Child Suicide Claims in Puberty Blocker Debate." It was published on the 17th of this month. The byline is Evelyn Homoel. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I've never heard it. It looks French, so I'm sure I'm not pronouncing that correctly at all. But she writes, again, starting with that quote, "Would you rather have a dead daughter or a living son?" That's the question that transgender activists and gender-affirming therapists and physicians often hold over parents' heads when they refuse to allow their gender dysphoric child to take experimental puberty blockers and long-term cross-sex hormones. A panel of experts spoke on the dangers posed by that either-or dichotomy at an event, the effect of access to puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones on youth suicide rates, at the Heritage Foundation on Tuesday. And then in parentheses, the Daily Signal is the news outlet of the Heritage Foundation, which I already mentioned. The speakers discussed the significance of Heritage's newly released breakthrough study, Puberty Blockers, Cross-Sex Hormones, and Youth Suicide, which examined the increased rate of youth suicide in states that allow gender dysphoric minors to take cross-sex hormones and puberty blockers without parental consent. The study's findings on suicide rates among gender dysphoric youths run counter to the narrative of the transgender activists. Jay Green, a senior fellow at the Heritage Center for Education Policy and author of the study, and incidentally the man I heard interviewed, spoke of the imperative of investigating the effects of the widespread availability of puberty blockers. He called for clinical trials to determine whether puberty blockers and the long-term use of cross-sex hormones are safe for children. Jay Richards, the director of Heritage's DeVos Center for Life, Religion, and Family, and Virginia Gentiles, director of the Education Freedom Center at the Independent Women's Forum, joined Green on the panel, which was moderated by Ryan Anderson, president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center. "We are in the middle of a rapid-onset gender dysphoria pandemic," Richard said, calling puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones the pathway to sterilization. The speakers noted that transgender activists and physicians often play the suicide card to coerce parents into letting their child take these experimental drugs. Now, remember, you know, going back to that previous paragraph, that this Dr. Richards calls this the pathway to sterilization. We can't divorce all the myriad worldviews that make up the left. And remember, they have the left is a religion. It really is. And its sacrament is abortion. And its eschatology, its doctrine of the end times, is overpopulation, environmental destruction, and possibly an outer space. They don't believe in heaven. This is there's too many people on the earth. We need to get rid of them. This is what Bill Gates is saying. This is the mantra that has been repeated over and over and over again ever since the population bomb by Paul Ehrlich back in the late 60s. They have been pushing this idea that the earth is overpopulated or will soon be overpopulated. We have to do something to stop people from having babies. Can I say that this is in direct contradiction to the very first command that God gave? Be fruitful and multiply. Well, actually, the second command. I think the first command was don't eat of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. But the second command was be fruitful and multiply. And that actually may have been the first command. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look. It's in chapter 1. The command not to eat to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is in chapter 2 of Genesis. But I actually think chronologically that because he gave that command before he made the woman. So I think that command came first. So be fruitful and multiply would be the second command. But be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. That was God's command to Adam and Eve. After the flood, he said the exact same thing to Noah and his family. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So this idea that we need to depopulate the earth is in exact contradiction to the commandments given by God. So we can see that this is an ungodly worldview. Has God really said, is what they're saying. So in a lot of ways, this transgender movement is sterilizing people. It's getting people to voluntarily submit to sterilization, have their sexual organs removed so that they cannot reproduce. And my understanding from reading quite a bit on the subject, which is a subject I never thought I'd be reading about, but I've been reading articles and I've been reading a lot of detransition stories. And a lot of these people, they say that after they have this surgery, they can't enjoy sex anyway. So, you know, think about that. Anyway, continuing with the article, the speaker noted that transgender activists and physicians often play the suicide card to coerce parents into letting their child take these experimental drugs. What would lead us to put our children on a pathway to sterilization? Ask any parent and they'll tell you childhood suicide, Richard said. It is the only thing that would overcome our natural aversion to the pathway of sterilization. The speaker also noted the social contagion aspect of the increased use of puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones among children. Green said the Google search trend for puberty blockers before 2007 was zero. When puberty blockers, but it spiked between 2015 and 2020 when puberty blockers became more widely available to young children. Gentile said that one of the most concerning aspects of the study's findings is how the parents' role in their child's life is being usurped by medical, educational, and governmental institutions that actively conceal children's health information from parents. That's huge, folks. God gave parents to parent their kids, not government. Government is stepping outside of its bounds of authority. Government's bounds of authority are to punish evildoers, meaning specifically to punish criminals and protect the nation from invasion and foreign forces. The government's job is not to parent our children. Parents' job is to parent our children. Continuing in the article, parents know that a risky regimen of puberty blockers, hormones, and surgeries won't bring their children the peace and joy they so desperately crave, Gentile said. She added that the individuals making experimental but irreversible medical decisions for children in place of parents have insufficient knowledge to intervene. The pernicious assumptions behind this horrific question is that parents do not have the best interest of their children at heart and that the experts know better. Nothing is further from the truth, Gentile said. Heritage's study contradicts the narrative that gender-affirming care is necessary and life-saving in many circumstances, finding that increasing minors' access to cross-sex interventions is associated with a significant increase in the adolescent suicide rate. By encouraging minors to pause puberty, physicians and transgender activists are inevitably forcing those children to take cross-sex hormones and permanently mutilate their bodies, which only furthers gender dysphoria, hopelessness, and suicidal thoughts, the very things they claim to be working against. Richards noted that 98% of children who take puberty blockers end up also taking cross-sex hormones. The Heritage study found that the 33 states with legal provisions for children to receive health care without parental consent experience 1.6 more suicides per 100,000 pre-adolescents and young adults ages 12 to 23 than the 17 states without such provisions. That represents a 14% increase in the average state suicide rate among the same ages from 1999 to 2020. Green's research provided several public policy suggestions designated to guarantee safety for young children struggling with gender dysphoria and ensuring parental involvement and consent. States should also adopt parental bills of rights that affirm that parents have primary responsibility for their children's education and health and that require schools to receive permission from parents before administering health services to students, including medication and gender-related counseling to students under age 18, the report said. These vulnerable children deserve their parents' involvement and deserve their parents' support to make it safely to adulthood. It's time to stop cruelly manipulating children with cult-like slogans, and it's time to turn away from propaganda centered around suicide threats. Richards noted that for children who express gender dysphoria, watchful waiting often appears to be the best solution. For most children, puberty is a cure for gender dysphoria, he said. The speaker said Heritage's study highlights not only the urgency for clinical studies on the long-term effects of puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones, but also the need for states' recognition of parental involvement in medical decisions for minor children. In addition, the speakers encouraged parents to fight for involvement in their children's lives and speak up in the face of transgender activists' intimidation and emotional manipulation. The point of transgender activist messaging is to make parents afraid. They don't have to be afraid. They don't have to be isolated. They don't have to stay silent. Hope is more powerful than fear. Folks, they are going after our children. They are going after our children openly. They are going after our children relentlessly. And they are destroying lives. I said yesterday that, you know, transgenderism wasn't a thing just a little over a decade ago. It really wasn't. Like I said, you had a few freaky people that cross-dressed or something like that, but you didn't have this chemical and surgical mutilation of the human body going on, not nearly at the rate it is today. And certainly not with the encouragement that it receives today. The message, there's several things going on here. First, there has been the destruction of the nuclear family, and that continues. The number of children that are born to unwed mothers intentionally, we're not talking about accidental pregnancies, we're talking about young women who pick a guy to have a kid with without marrying, without any intention of joining their lives in matrimony, without any intention, in many cases, of even parenting the child together. Quite often, they absolve the man of any responsibility, including child support, just basically saying, get me pregnant and go away. That has increased. The number of women who get pregnant accidentally with a man they have no intention of marrying and then keep the child and raise it as single mother is also greatly increased in our world today. The biblical ethic of sex being intended for the mutual enjoyment of a married couple consisting of one man and one woman is considered so passé today. That's just an idea that, how old-fashioned can you be? But folks, that sort of marriage and that sort of attitude of only married couple, wait till you get married to have sex, wait till you get married to have kids, all of that, that is actually what leads to a strong society and strong families and children with high self-esteem. The children that value themselves because they know they're valued, and children who succeed in this world, not these poor lost souls that we are surrounded by today. I said it's one of the reasons why I have such a heart for youth ministry, is seeing what these kids are growing up in and growing up to. The way to change our society is not to focus on changing our society, although we do need to stand and we do need to react to and counter, work to counter the vile, evil things that our society is trying to do. But the way to stop that primarily is not at the ballot box. It's at the Bible. We need to share the gospel with our friends and neighbors. We need to follow the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the earth, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything Jesus, and he's with us until the end of the age. The Holy Spirit will empower these efforts. We need to proclaim the gospel. Would you please tell someone the good news of Jesus Christ today? That they are a sinner in need of a Savior. That Jesus Christ, God the Son, came to earth, became a man, lived the perfect life that we are not able to live, then died the death that we deserve on the cross, so that all who would put their faith in him would be saved from the penalty of sin, from the wrath of God. He who confesses with his mouth that Jesus is Lord and calls upon him to be saved will be saved, in a horribly mangled paraphrase of Romans 10. As again, my memory is horrible. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For all who call upon the name of the Lord. So repent and believe the gospel and share the gospel with your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, the stranger on the bus on the way to work, the taxi driver who picks you. Pray for their souls. Give them the gospel. Give them a Bible if you can. Invite them to church, a solid church where the Bible is actually taught, not some quasi-religious-themed social club or vaguely religious-themed rock concert every week, but a place where the Bible is taught, where the people are taught to obey all of the commands that Christ gave, where people are taught what the Scriptures mean and how to live a holy and righteous life before God, which is what he desires of us. It's what he requires of us. So, folks, we really need to work on being more evangelistic. As the world gets darker, let your light shine. Pray for these kids. I've read quite a few detransition stories in the last few months that are just heart-wrenching. Of young people that have had body parts cut off and then realize they made a horrible mistake. You can't put it back. It's over and done with. Think about that. This is irreversible. Often the chemical damage just from the puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones is irreversible. Irreversible. But so is the surgery, even more so. We are allowing children to be mutilated in the name of political correctness, in the name of a godless ideology, and it is destroying our nation's children. So, folks, we need to pray about this. We need to be active about this. We need to stand up and call sin, sin. And we can't wait any longer. We can't. We just can't. So pray for our nation's young people. Have a great Tuesday. Like I said, it's my granddaughter's first birthday today. So I'm going to have a great Tuesday. I'm looking forward to celebrating this weekend with the whole family as we celebrate Iris's first birthday. But happy birthday, Iris. Everybody out there, remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.